Hello, guys, and welcome back to Crime Central Podcast. This is Michaela.
And this is not Rowan.
Oh my god, shut up already about that. It's literally been, like, almost a week. Alright, so I guess Aaron has, like, something a little interesting going on for us. I saw, like, 17 pages of research, so I don't really know where this is going. Kind of nervous for it. I'm excited.
It's actually a local-ish case. It's based off of, it's based out of Indianapolis. Wow.
The capital of Indiana.
Yeah, that one. Yep.
The state capital.
Back in the...
You flailed.
It was, like, back in the 1940s. If you guys are into true crime, you guys have probably heard of the brutal murder of Sylvia Likens. She was a 16-year-old girl. So,
You're speaking, like, really quiet.
Yeah. Because the girl you thought I was is asleep.
Literally. You're the one that's like, hey, I know it's, like, 8 o'clock, but I'm gonna start driving to your house right now.
It was 7 my time.
It doesn't matter. She goes, hey, so I just finished all my research. I'm coming down to your house. And I'm like, it's literally 7 o'clock. I'm almost done. So I'll probably leave here in like 20 minutes, an hour later. Hey, so I'm leaving now. And then like an hour and a half after that, she's like, oh, hey, I'm going to stop and grab chicken nuggets. Is that okay? Yeah. So here we are, late as can be. It's whatever.
So this is our
this is Monday's episode.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been a week. It's been one hell of a week. So, wow, sorry guys, my voice is scratchy. I've been using it a lot.
A little too much.
Well. Yeah, I do talk a lot. Okay, so let's just jump right in. If I pause, I have to get a drink. My bad.
She aggressively shakes her eyes. Still her bad.
All right, so Sylvia Likens was born on January 3rd of 1949.
Oh, so she was a Capricorn.
That's what you got out of that?
What was I supposed to get? Oh, 1949. I wasn't alive yet.
If she were still alive today, she'd be old as fuck.
Dude, I know people from like 1930s that are still alive.
Yeah, no, my grandparents are. Okay, so anyways, she was the third child of Lester and Elizabeth Likens. She had four siblings. The older two were twins, Diana and Daniel. And the younger two were also twins, Jenny and Benny.
Can you imagine being literally the only child that doesn't have a twin? I would feel so left out.
I would be like, Mom, Dad, you fucked up with me. You had one job. You had one job.
And why didn't I get a clone?
You fucked it up, Mom and Dad. Thank you.
I feel like we're not going to be laughing, like, afterwards. Oh, by the way, guys, she warned me before we did this that this might be a little triggering for some people. I know we didn't mention that at the very beginning, to let you know.
This is a very, very brutal case. It does involve torture.
Yeah.
Torture of a minor. In very horrendous ways, so we just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that.
And now there is a written warning, but I know that some people don't read those, so I just wanted to verbalize that warning too, just in case if you got in here. I know that some people are sensitive in different ways, and we just don't want to
offend anybody
or cause any harm to those of you, because, like, honestly, this is just for entertainment. We don't want to set anybody back or anything. Now you can continue with your story.
Okay. So, yes, she had two younger twins, the siblings that were named Jenny and Benny.
Were they a boy and a girl? Or?
Yes, both sets of twins were boys and girls, so they're both fraternal twins.
I love that, though.
Mary-Kate and Ashley are fraternal twins.
They just look a lot alike.
Yeah. Sylvia had long, wavy brown hair. She was a Beatles fan and loved roller skating. Her brother accidentally knocked out her front tooth of her beautiful smile. Well, you know how brothers are. So
my little sister would, like, literally chipped my bottom tooth, so siblings I know how are, rough siblings can
yeah.
be. Says the person who's an only child. You were literally rough to yourself. You're like, I don't have any siblings, so let me beat myself up.
No, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I want a punching bag. He goes, no, you don't need one. So I'd go up to him, I'd just deck him right in the arm, and then he still never gave me a punching bag.
And that's why you didn't have siblings. He's like, this one's too much for me. No more.
He's like, I'm done.
I give up, Sylvia, Jennifer. I give up.
Sylvia's family nicknamed her Cookie.
I love that.
But see, like, I feel like it's a little offensive because she's missing a tooth and the dark space might look like a chocolate chip. That's literally what came to my mind when I first heard that.
What if she had freckles? What if that was it? What if it was the freckles?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
She could have freckles that looked like, I don't know.
Sylvia's little sister, Jenny, had polio when she was younger, which caused her to have a limp leg, which I kind of know what that's like.
You don't know the extent of polio. Though.
Right, no, but with my injury, my leg will just go numb and I'll just be walking and it'll just give out.
Yeah, that's totally what polio is like.
No, I'm talking about the limp leg part.
Okay.
Sylvia was a caring older sister who cared for her little sister, Jenny. Sylvia would take Jenny to the skating rink on her babysitting money.
That's so sweet.
She would fasten one skate to Jenny's good foot and hold her hand so that Jenny could skate with other kids. Aww. Yeah.
What a good big sister.
I know, right? I would not be that nice of a sister.
I mean, you know, see, I thought the same thing, but I'm also nice sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest sibling of 6 total, so. I mean, yikes. I guess you gotta be nice sometimes.
Yeah. In 1965, 16-year-old Sylvia met... Paula and Stephanie...
Banachesky?
Yeah, Banachesky. I had to look down
Banachesky.
There.
Banachesky?
Yeah, Banachesky. At Arsenal Technical High School. I haven't actually looked to see if that's actually still around, but this is all up in Indianapolis, and I've never heard of that school, because I feel like...
Arsenal Technical High School?
Yeah, I've never heard of it. On June 3rd of 1965, Sylvia's mother was arrested for shoplifting.
So, like, what did she shoplift?
I don't know. I didn't say.
Do you think it was something, like, dumb, like sunglasses? Or do you think it was something
huge? It must have been.
Huge?
It must have been because her and her dad would come back and check on the kids later.
That's good.
So, I'm guessing she probably didn't. It probably wasn't something, like, huge. Mm. But Lester sold concessions at carnivals and usually took the boys with him, but could not bring his daughters. Since the Ligons and the Banachesky girls got along, Lester decided to send Sylvia and Jenny to live with Gertrude. Gertrude was Paula and Stephanie's mom.
The Banachesky's mom.
Yes.
Okay.
He agreed to pay $20 each week for their board and care. Gertrude promised to care for the girls as her own. It kind of gets into that a little bit later.
He just kind of gave his kids off to this girl because... Was the mom still arrested at this point in time?
It doesn't really talk a lot about the mom. It really...
So, I'm assuming that the mom wasn't able to care for her kids, and that's why he gave his daughters to Gertrude, because he couldn't take them to the fair.
Right. And I don't exactly know where the mother was.
And $20 was a lot of money then.
Back in the 40s, yeah.
At least for somebody who works at a fair.
Yeah. So, he agreed to pay $20 each week for their board and care. Gertrude promised to care for the girls as her own. Man. And now a little background on the Banachesky family. Gertrude Banachesky, a.k.a. This reminded me of Carl von Kossel.
Oh, no.
A.k.a. Nie von Fossen.
Oh. Is it anything that sounds like... So it's literally anything that's, like, kind of German or...
Yes. She was born on September 19th of 1928. It doesn't really say where she was. She married John Stefan Banachewski at 16 years old. The couple had four children together. Now, poor Gertrude, she's not real bright.
Oh, well, of course not.
No,
because... I'm sorry, that sounded so mean. I don't know why I said that.
No, she's really not. And you're not going to feel bad about that after you hear what she does to this poor girl. So, they had four children together. John became violent physically toward her, and they divorced after 10 years. Gertrude filed for divorce, basically, like, 10 years later, because she had enough. Weeks later...
So, who married John?
Gertrude.
Gertrude married John Banachewski at 16 years old.
Yes.
And then they had four children.
John became violent towards her. She filed for divorce 10 years later. Weeks later, she married Edward Guthrie.
Edward Guthrie.
He was also abusive and divorced within months.
Well, I mean, they do say that once you have, like, you enter that cycle, it's almost impossible to leave, so...
This is where I say she's stupid.
But the fact that she just entered, like, a couple of weeks after a talk, I don't even know.
Then Gertrude, for some reason, thought it would be a great idea to go back to the first abusive husband.
They had two more children,
and then they divorced the second time. Okay?
Gertrude. That's nuts.
She's all over the place because she met 22-year-old Dennis Lee Wright. The man was younger than I am now.
Not by a lot.
No, but still.
How old is she at this point?
Let's see. 31.
31, okay.
Yeah. The man was pretty young.
Hey, you know what? Some guys are really into that sort of thing.
The couple wasn't married, but had one son together, Dennis Jr., in 1965.
Hmm.
Dennis abandoned Gertrude and the baby. She filed a paternity suit against him, but he never paid one dime to her.
She has, like, a million kids now, and none of them have dad.
She's not done. 1965, Gertrude was a haggard, chain-smoking single mom of seven, living in a squalor at 3850 West New York Street in Indianapolis.
Wait, is she still caring for those girls?
Not at this point. This is going back. We're
listening to Gertrude's story before she started watching these girls.
Yes. Kind of gives a background on the Banachewski family.
Okay, so are they very important to the story?
Kind of, yeah. It kind of gives some background.
Well, I mean, if they helped raise the girls, I guess it's kind of important.
Her rent was $55 a month. Initially,
I freaking wish.
Yeah, right?
$55 a month.
Initially, the Banachewski family treated Sylvia and Jenny like family as promised. The Likens and Banachewski girls spent time singing popular songs and gossiping about boys.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's what you would do.
The Banachewski house was the house all the neighborhood children would come and go from as they pleased. They could get away with things their parents wouldn't allow. Well, smoking, drinking, even kinky sex talk happened right in front of Gertrude, and she just didn't give a fuck. These are all high schoolers, younger.
I mean, she's a single mom who's been through, like, a bunch of stuff. She probably just...
But I'm thinking, like,
do the neighbor parents
not see this? Like, why would you still send your kid over there?
Did you hear my knees?
No.
Well, every child, or, like, every neighborhood has that one family...
Oh, God, it'll probably be me. But, at this point...
Dude, you don't even have any kids. If a bunch of kids start showing up at your house... Like, a bunch of high school students just casually start showing up at your house...
I would be, like,
mildly alarmed. I'd be like, what is she running?
Like, leave. Go. Get away from me. Gertrude's 13th pregnancy had ended in her 6th miscarriage.
That's sad.
Yeah. But 13 pregnancies? God dang, can you imagine if those 6 had lived?
My friend, his dad comes from a family of 21 kids.
No, thank you. Yeah, she was tired and looked twice her age, which was just 31 years old. If her life wasn't enough of a mess, her 17-year-old Paula was pregnant by a married man.
Paula, what are you doing wrecking marriages?
She's like, I want to be like mommy.
Well, I mean, her mom entered a bunch of abusive relationships.
Like, so, yeah.
She probably only wants to find toxic men, too. That's just, like, the psychology behind
If you see your mom do something and you grow up around that, you're more than likely, you know what I mean?
Not only that, 9 times out of 10, women end up marrying their fathers.
There.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so women end up marrying people just like their dads.
Yeah. Gertrude needed money badly. Without the weekly $20, she had no way to feed all 9 kids and still pay rent. So at this point, we're back in the future and she's got the 2 Likens girls with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was glad that Lester paid her $20 up front. The future payments kept arriving late or not even show up at all. She started to get enraged. Jenny and Sylvia became the target of Gertrude's
contempt,
yeah. You can tell I was starting to get tired. After the first late payment, she dragged Jenny up the stairs and whipped her with a leather belt. A direct quote from Gertrude to the girls was documented. She basically cussed at them and said, I took care of you 2 bitches for a week for nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's treating them like family, all right.
Yeah. The money arrived in the mail the day after the first spanking. Sylvia and Jenny's parents came a few days later and gave another advance payment. The girl said nothing about getting beat. When Gertrude learned that Sylvia was recycling pop bottles for cash, she lost it and took it out on Sylvia. With her quarter-inch wooden paddle, she hit her repeatedly across the back of the head. When Gertrude became weak with chronic bronchitis, she would give Paula the paddle. The abuse increased in frequency and severity. Gertrude may have felt a little sorry for Jenny because of her condition. She was kind of frail, you know, wasn't...
She had polio.
Yeah. Because as of August of 1965, Gertrude only took it out on Sylvia. Sylvia admitted she had a boyfriend in California.
How did she get a boyfriend in California?
I think they originally, like, moved this way from California, I think is what I had seen. Gertrude and her daughter were so disgusted, and Paula would repeatedly kick Sylvia in her vagina and tell her she was pregnant. Not only did Sylvia get beat a lot, but Gertrude would quit feeding her and Sylvia. I can't read. But Gertrude would quit feeding...
Would quit feeding her, her and Sylvia, Sylvia would dumpster dive.
I was so tired. I was half asleep when I wrote... Not half asleep, but my hands started cramping up. Sylvia would dumpster dive for food. When Gertrude found her going through a dumpster, Gertrude, Paula, and a neighbor boy named Randy Lepper... What a name. Forced her to eat a hot dog with a bunch of condiments and spices. This is where it starts to get a little graphic, just a heads up. Sylvia ended up throwing it up, and the 3 of them made her eat her own vomit.
The only reason why I'm not shook by that is because I don't know if you've ever read A Child Called It.
No.
It's about, like, this mom who, like, abused her son, and she refused to call him by name. She would only call him It or the boy. And all of her other kids were treated, like, so good, except for that one boy. And he wrote 3 books about it. And they did that to... She did that to him.
Wow.
But...
That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
The girls went back to school in fall, and Gertrude accused Sylvia of spreading rumors that Paula and Stephanie were prostitutes. Gertrude beat the girls in front of her kids and their friends. Stephanie's 15-year-old boyfriend, Coy Hubbard, attacked Sylvia in response. Stephanie laughed as Gertrude taunted Sylvia by calling her names. When Sylvia was accused of stealing gym clothes, Gertrude burnt her fingertips with a lit match while she screamed. She literally hated Sylvia. Sylvia was also claimed to be promiscuous and was told she should never do anything with a man until she is married. Mm.
That is so hypocritical. So her daughter's 17 and pregnant.
But she doesn't know at this point, I don't think. Because I also was watching, like, the movie on it that's on YouTube. And I don't know whether how accurate it is, because it was something that, like, a kind of like a documentary type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, she didn't find out till later, because Paulo kind of was freaking out. Mm-hmm. And didn't want to tell her. So at this point, I don't think Gertrude knows that her daughter's pregnant. Sylvia would say she wasn't, which pissed off.
It still doesn't matter. They're both promiscuous. Like, both Gertrude and her daughter are promiscuous.
Yeah.
You can't beat somebody for doing something and then go behind and do it the next. Now, I get that they're obviously not in their right minds. They're freaking insane, but, like...
Yeah. I mean, she would be like, no, I'm really not. And Sylvia would say, I mean, yeah, she literally would be like, I'm really not. And Gertrude screamed at her while kicking her in the vagina again. Kicking her wasn't enough for Gertrude, so she made Sylvia strip naked. I'm just going to say, from here on out, it gets really graphic. Just want to give you guys a heads up. She made Sylvia strip naked and insert a glass bottle up her vagina while Gertrude's children watched and laughed. Yeah. On October 5th, Sylvia's parents came to check on the girls, but the girls didn't say anything about being abused due to fear. Gertrude banned the girls from seeing Diana, their older sister, who lived nearby. Paula at one point held the door open and told Sylvia to go and stay away forever, but Sylvia stayed because there wasn't anywhere for her to go. October 6th was Sylvia's last day of school and the day after her parents visited. Gertrude told the school that Sylvia had no interest in going to school and pretended she cared. Gertrude put Sylvia in the basement and kept her there. Coy became one of Sylvia's main attackers. So that's Stephanie's boyfriend.
The one, Stephanie's her 17-year-old daughter, right?
No, that's the 15-year-old.
Stephanie's the 15-year-old. And
yeah.
Okay.
Paul is a 17-year-old.
Okay.
Who's pregnant. Yeah.
All right. I see.
So, Stephanie's boyfriend became one of Sylvia's main attackers. He liked body slamming her forcefully on the concrete basement floor. Also tied her up for days because Gertrude urged him to. Now, at this point, kids from school would visit and they would help torture her. Gertrude would coach them step by step on how to do it. There were no boundaries. If the kids wanted to practice judo, which I don't know what that is.
It's a type of fighting.
Fighting? Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought. Practice judo. Gertrude told them to practice on Sylvia. Kids would put cigarettes out on her, like, all over her. Like, she was, like, tied up on the basement floor, and they would take a lit cigarette and just put it out on her. Gertrude would bathe Sylvia in water so hot that it would make her skin blister. Paula beat Sylvia's face so badly one time that it broke Paula's wrist. Like, she broke her own wrist because she was beating Sylvia's face so hard. Then, after the doctors put a cast on it, she was just proudly walking around, bragging about how she beat Paula, or beat Sylvia so hard that it put her arm in a cast. And then would go hit Sylvia more with the cast.
Yeah, because that's exactly what you need to do to your broken wrist.
Yeah.
Disregard the fact that it's a human being that you're beating up.
I'm telling you, this family's not entirely intelligent.
It's not just intelligence, it's straight up, like, evil.
Yeah. Paula, yeah. I mean, I'm not defending Paula. I'm not giving her any justification. However, I'm kind of putting myself in her shoes. 17 years old, you have a fucking whacked out of her mind mom, and you're pregnant by a married guy.
You either... Okay, so, like, in that situation...
Hormones and fear, for one.
No, not only that. She could think, oh, this is fantastic, be just as messed up as her mom. She could be like, well, if I don't do this, then it's going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. There could be a number of different things going on there.
Yeah. So it's like, I almost feel like, I mean, Paula's 100% wrong. She deserved to rot in hell, for sure. But I also feel like, in a way, she's kind of a victim of her mother. Do you see kind of where I'm... You kind of see, like, what I'm trying to say.
Well, if you want to go like that, then it's, like, Gertrude's a victim of her, like, former marriages, and that abuse is what led to her abusing Sylvia. That's what you could say, but everybody's still 100% to blame for their actions.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't think that anybody has any excuse to hurt anyone.
No. Not at all.
Awful.
Gertrude used a needle to carve I, the letter I, into Sylvia's stomach and then encouraged 15-year-old Richard Hobbs, which I think was like a neighbor or like a friend,
mm-hmm.
to finish it. And what he carved in her stomach with the needle was, "I am a prostitute and proud of it." Gertrude requested that Richard heat a metal hook and brand the letter S on her chest, but instead put a 3. They're real intelligent. I don't know how you messed that up, but yeah. Gertrude said she needed to brand Sylvia because Sylvia branded her daughter.
How did Sylvia brand her daughter?
Basically, they said that Sylvia was going around saying that her daughters were prostitutes and sluts and promiscuous.
Oh, so that's how she branded them by...
Verbally branded them, not physically branded them. Gertrude looked at her and said, "What are you going to do now? You can't get married now." Sylvia said in pain, "I guess there's nothing I can do." Like, wow. The fact that, like, she's just so calm through all this.
She just gave up.
Yeah, which is heart-wrenching. Coy came back to tie her up and slammed her into the wall over and over. Sylvia tried to console her baby sister at this point because she's...
just watching all this happen. She can't do anything.
She can't do anything because of her leg, and she's scared, but at the same time, you know, she feels like maybe somebody needs to get out, and somebody needs to be alive to tell what really happened, or they're going to get away from it.
Yeah.
So at this point, she's just kind of playing along with it, and in the documentary that I watched, it was kind of like a documentary fiction. Like, I don't think all of it was true.
Sylvia's just probably basically like, stay alive, stay alive.
And in, like, the little documentary show that I was watching, Gertrude looked at Sylvia, or at, Jenny, and was like, "Do you want to be like your sister?" And she just kind of looked at them, like, you could see, like, fear in her eyes, and she said, no. She was terrified of them. I mean, you can't walk very well anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, Sylvia's trying to console her baby sister and said, "Jenny, I know you don't want me to die, but I'm going to die. I can tell." Mm-hmm. So Sylvia at this point is just seeing that she's going to die. Sylvia started to lose control of her limbs. Gertrude knew that Sylvia was taking a turn for the worse, so she let Sylvia sleep on the mattress in the upstairs bedroom. Which, by the way, the girls, I don't know if I mentioned this, I feel like I missed that. But, Sylvia and Jenny were sharing a bedroom with,
Paula?
No, she wasn't sharing it with Paula. She was sharing it with, who was it? I know I wrote it down. Because I was like, that's kind of gross.
One of the boys?
There was a boy in there, yeah.
We can just come back to it.
Yeah, but anyway, she was sharing it with, like, an 8-year-old boy and, like, two other girls. So there was, like, 5 children. And they would take turns sleeping on the mattress.
That's messed up.
Yeah, so then at this point, Gertrude's like, well...
Well, I mean, they're really, really poor.
Yeah. But at this point, she's like, well, she is kind of starting to look a little dead. Let's just put her on the mattress.
But she probably started to feel bad.
No, not really. The mattress in the upstairs bedroom that they all shared. After she gave her a lukewarm bath, she put Sylvia back in the basement. Gertrude forced Sylvia to write a letter to her parents. And I'm going to go ahead and let you read that.
To Mr. and Mrs. Likens. I went with a gang of boys in the middle of the night, and they said that they would pay me. I would give them something, so I got in the car, and they all got what they wanted. And when they got finished, they beat me up and left sores on my face and all over my body. And they also put on my stomach, I'm a prostitute and proud of it. I've done just about everything that I could do just to make Gertie mad. And because I...
That was on there, so I didn't get it.
Because I sick Gertie more money than she's got.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense when you're reading it at all.
Tore up a new mattress and peed on it. I have also cost Gertie doctor bills that she really can't pay and made Gertie a nervous wreck and all her kids.
So, I actually found here, Sylvia and Jenny shared a bedroom with 11-year-old Marie, 10-year-old Shirley, and 8-year-old Jimmy Banchesky. The room had one mattress on the floor that the five children took turns sleeping on.
Is there more to that letter?
No, that was it. That was all that. Yeah.
So
the letter didn't make any sense. So you wonder...
Basically what she's... Gertrude made her write a letter that basically said that gang of boys was the one that caused all of the physical harm to her. And that she did it all on her... Sylvia did it all on her own accord. Gertrude had nothing to do with it. And Gertrude was actually worried sick about her. And she did nothing but make Gertrude's life bad. And she destroyed Gertrude's mattress.
And caused her medical bills that she just...
couldn't pay.
Because she had all these kids to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That night, Sylvia heard Gertrude and her kids making plans to dump her in the woods. Sylvia tried to run, but Gertrude caught her and dragged her inside and attempted to feed her toast. Sylvia didn't have the strength to actually eat the toast, though. Gertrude hit her in the face with a curtain rod, and her son John put Sylvia back in the basement. John tied Sylvia's wrists to the basement railing, and her toes barely touched the ground. Gertrude shoved crackers into Sylvia's parched mouth. Sylvia told her she wasn't hungry and suggested she feed them to the dog. Gertrude then punched Sylvia in her belly. John force-fed her the contents of baby Denny's diaper, as well as her own feces. October 25th, Gertrude, Cody, and John beat Sylvia until she lost consciousness. When Gertrude stomped on her head, it just knocked her out. When she came to, she gathered up enough strength to bang on the basement floor and walls, hoping someone would help her, but no one could hear her and no one did help her.
Well, everybody that knew about it took part in it, so...
Yeah. Now we kind of get to the time she dies. On the morning of October 26th, 1965, Gertrude and Stephanie bathed Sylvia. During her bath, Sylvia stopped breathing. The Banchescus were terrified, not because they cared, because they would be caught. Stephanie tried unsuccessfully to revive her with CPR. Gertrude placed Sylvia's broken body back on the mattress and instructed Richard to call the cops. Gertrude handed the police Sylvia's letter. She told them Sylvia ran away recently and returned injured, clutching a note. Gertrude fined grief and claimed Sylvia was being doctored by her. The officers rounded the hall corner to Sylvia's emaciated body lying lifeless on the soiled mattress. Deputy Coroner Arthur Kellel noted that Sylvia's lips were practically chewed through. All 10 of her fingernails were bent backwards and broken. She had hundreds of wounds on her skin, all of them in different stages of healing, suggesting ongoing trauma. Dr. Charles Ellis performed the autopsy. And discovered that the cause of death was from torture. The police asked Jenny what happened, and Jenny told them, "You get me out of here and I will tell you everything." Gertrude was convicted of first-degree murder. Paula was convicted of second-degree murder. They each received a life sentence, but after a second trial, Paula pled down to manslaughter and was released 2 years later. Gertrude was paroled in 1985. She claims she had no memory of her actions and died 4 years later of lung cancer. Paula moved to Iowa, where she secured a new identity and a job at an elementary school.
They let her work in an elementary school?
Well, they gave her a new identity, and I don't know where she got the new identity.
It's messed up.
Yeah. Stephanie married and had several children and became a school teacher. What's up with these women working in schools? Like,
yeah, they're seriously, they're like...
Uh-oh.
It's fine. Just keep going.
Okay. Richard Hobbs and Coy Hubbard and Gertrude's son John were convicted of manslaughter, and they all received 2 21-year prison terms, which they served 2 years. I didn't say much on that, but I was like, okay.
Probably because they stated that they were just forced to do it by their mom, you know? They were...
Well,
because they were... They were... Inherently, they were children.
Richard and Coy were, like, neighbor boys.
And it doesn't matter. They were still children. And right. The fact that there was an adult in the situation means that the adult was the manipulator. Because yes. Children's minds are still developing at that point in time. So, usually, they don't...
In like, this case, I'm glad they at least got some punishment.
Oh, they 100% needed to. You still need to think about your actions. If they got no punishment, they would probably proceed. They'd be serial offenders.
Yeah. Richard died at age 21 of lung cancer. Baby Denny was adopted. Actually, I read that I think it was Coy Hubbard was the youngest person to be... No, I think the video said that Coy Hubbard was the youngest man to be convicted in the Indiana, system. Like, in the Indiana, like, prison system. I think it was him.
Is he held in the state penitentiary, too, or...?
I think so.
So they were all held in, like, Terre Haute?
I really don't know. I didn't look that up.
Well, Terre Haute's a really big prison, you know?
Yeah. No wonder that
place Reppin'. Yeah.
No wonder Terre Haute's turning ghetto.
Literally, the penitentiary's been there forever. You cannot...
I know. But no. Terre Haute's ghetto now. Baby Denny, so the one that where they made her eat stuff out of his diaper, was adopted into a new family, and so was the daughter that Paula was pregnant with during all this.
Can you imagine, like, learning that you came from that family?
I mean, I feel like
my mom literally tortured somebody to death. What about you? Like, that would be freaking nuts.
Yeah, imagine all the kids at school be like, oh, goodbye. Jenny Likens married and had 2 children of her own. She lived long enough to read Gertrude's obituary, which she mailed to her mother with a letter that read, "Some good news. Damn old Gertrude died. Ha ha ha. I am so happy about that."
Who said that?
Jenny.
She wrote to who?
She mailed the newspaper article to her mom with a little letter in it that said, "Some good news. Damn old Gertrude died. Ha 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 ha. I am so happy about that."
I love how that's all that she had to say. Like,
that would be me. I immediately thought of me. Prosecutor Leroy New quoted, "This case has never had its equal. It is the most vicious thing, the most hideous thing Indiana has ever seen." The house that this all happened in sat empty for decades before it was leveled out, and it is now a church parking lot. A memorial dedicated to Sylvia's memory stands out Willard Park, where Sylvia used to play.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
I can't. How? I'm literally so frustrated at her parents for not realizing it.
Well, okay, so it said that they came back to visit them, but the girls were so, at the first time,
I don't care if your kids say nothing. you should be able to tell if something is wrong. I don't care if you see him once a freaking week. It doesn't matter. You'd still be able to know if something weird is going on.
Right, and like,
children of abuse, they give off certain signs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They can act like everything is fine. You can still tell that they're acting. And it doesn't take a psychologist. It doesn't take an empath to notice those things. You just have to look twice.
You know? I didn't think about that because, like, I don't have kids of my own. But you, as a mother, you know, like, you would know, like, what's out of normal for little Roro.
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. me.
I would know if something was off with my younger siblings, even.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't really say much about the parents other than they just, like, weren't there. And what I also didn't understand was why they didn't put...
why they didn't go back for them. You know, like, why was it a permanent thing for Gertrude to watch their kids?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you... And it was just the two daughters. Like, they...
Because Diana was somewhere else, which
why wouldn't she take them afterwards? You know what I mean?
And it didn't say much about Diana, because...
She lived just down the road. Why wouldn't she want to go visit her sisters?
Well, I think she was, but Gertrude banned them.
They banned them from going over to her. Now, if Gertrude was like, you can't come over to my house to see your siblings... Then she should automatically have been like, something's up with Gertie, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't really say much about what Diana was doing. I don't know.
There's just so many things that could have happened.
Yeah, that could have prevented this.
It's so irritating to me. Whenever there's so many people in that situation where you could say something but you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even...
In a way, like, for the children that got involved in this, it even said that Gertrude was coaching them. So I can put myself in their shoes and be like, shit, if I don't fucking do what she says, am I going to be the next one?
It was a manipulation thing. Like, they were all absolutely young, impressionable kids.
And Paula, you know, was a whole different story. She was young, she was about to hit adult, but pregnancy hormones, pregnant by a married man...
She was taking 17. Out her insecurities and frustrations on this little girl that her mom had produced for her and told her, let's beat her up.
And they were about the same age. Because Sylvia was 16 at the time, and Paula, yeah.
I'm still betting that Sylvia was ridiculously smaller than her due to the malnourishment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I saw this case on Facebook. Like, I saw, like, the house, because they tore the house down, but it showed, like, where the house was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, a picture of what the house used to look like. And that's why I tagged you in it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, girl, this needs to be done.
It's messed up. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was very, ouch.
Rough.
That was a rough one. I just can't believe that people can do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, how can you go every day living your life knowing that you've done that to somebody else? Do you think there was, like, one moment in that Gertrude thought, shit, maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know? I'm hoping there was.
Oh, well, then there's also, like, newspaper clippings, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, 5 sentenced in Likens case, leniency denied.
Good.
Defendant 15 tells his part in Sylvia's torture, and that was Richard Hobbs.
The youngest.
Yes. Hobbs said the 37-year-old woman was crying frantically, and he had to forcibly keep her downstairs while her children tried to revive Sylvia with a warm bath upstairs. And these are actually, like, newspaper articles,
yeah, those
too.
Are real newspaper clippings. I can't believe that that's actually a thing. The things that people do are just absolutely sick. That's why, like, sometimes I just have to remind myself, like, of the positive things that happen in life. Like, I know that we're on a true crime podcast, but sometimes I just need to take a step back and, you know.
And honestly, like, yeah, we talk about crime and, like, heinous things, but at the same time, this is, like, in a strange way, like, a relaxing, like, just hobby that I like to do because it kind of takes me out of my busy life almost and puts me in something that I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, guys, we hope that you enjoyed that episode. And we hope to see you again.
Yeah. Well,
hope you tune in this Friday.
We hope you liked last Friday's.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.